Go to the book of Romans for us, the subject of our study this morning, Romans chapter 2. I want to begin reading in just a moment at verse 1 and read through verse 11. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. Thank you for your presence this morning. We have a good number in attendance. It's good to see you out on such a beautiful Lord's Day. Hope you'll be blessed by your efforts here to praise God in song and to study His Word. You'll be blessed by your obedience, your continued obedience to it. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" In the opening remarks of this chapter, Paul condemns the Jew for his condemnation of the Gentile. He points out to the Jew in this chapter that he is under the judgment of God just as the Gentile is, and both are in need of salvation. Not only are they in need of salvation, all men are in need of salvation today, whether they be Jew today or whether they be considering themselves Gentiles. In verse 4, Romans 2, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." God is not a respecter of persons. He treats everyone even-handedly. He is just toward all men. He is completely unbiased, especially in His relationship to man and their salvation. In our lesson this morning, we want to consider and observe how it is that God is impartial to man in regard to his salvation. First of all, we note in Acts 10 and in verse 34 that Peter had to learn this in a hard way, the household of Cornelius. Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whether it be the nation of Gentiles or whether it be the Jews, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." What does it mean to work righteousness? It means to do that which is right. We simply learn to do that which is right according to God's will. We work righteousness when we keep the commandments and ordinances of God. Thus we do right in the sight of God. Thus we're accepted by God when we do right. Thus when we are declared or pronounced righteous by Him. In Romans 2 and in verse 11, there is no partiality with God. He's even-handed toward all of us in regard to our salvation. Let's note some of the ways that He is. God is impartial in that He counts everyone a sinner. Me, as well as you. The Jew, as well as the Gentile. In God's sight, all men are sinners. Romans 3 and in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they, Paul asks? Are we Jews better than they, the Gentiles? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin, under the condemnation of sin. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God." According to God, all are sinners and in need of salvation. Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Jew needed to learn this. They condemned the Gentiles for living in sin, but they didn't see themselves as living in sin. God sees everyone who does not obey His word on a daily basis as sinners. Now, the Jew needed to learn that, and sometimes we need to learn that as well as children of God. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as sinners, sometimes when we are sinners in the sight of God. In 1 John 1 and in verse 8, John speaking to Christians said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So at times, we stand condemned before God as a sinner as well. So just as the Jew who condemned the Gentile, we need to be careful lest we condemn ourselves for practicing those things that others practice that are contrary to the will of God. Amen. So God is impartial in that He counts every man a sinner and in need of salvation. Regardless of whether he's rich or poor, black or white, male or female, it does not matter. Everyone is counted alike in God's sight. God is also impartial in that He provides one Savior for all. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just one Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave the same Savior to all men. He didn't give one Savior to the nation that lives on the other side of the world, the Arabs. He didn't give a different Savior to them than He gives to us. He didn't give a different Savior to the Chinese people and give us a different in regard to the one He gave them. No, He gave all men the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the same Savior invites all men to come to Him. Matthew 11 and verse 28, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. One Savior. God is even handed to all men. Gives them the same Savior. Doesn't give us a different one. God is also impartial in that He has given one gospel. That is just one message of salvation for all men. He didn't give this group over here one message for salvation and this group over here a different message for salvation. No, He gave one gospel message. One message of good news to all mankind. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what is the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes the gospel, it has the power to bring about the salvation of their soul. Whether it be Jew or whether it be Gentile. One gospel message for all of mankind. There's not a message for the wise and another message for the foolish. There's not a one message for the Chinese and another message for the Mexican and another message for the Americans. No, it's one message for all men everywhere. One message of salvation. Only makes sense, one Savior, He would have one message. Everyone is saved in Him. Amen. God is so impartial and evil-handed, He even has provided us one plan of salvation for all men. Just one plan by which He will save all men. Romans 1 and verse 17. For in it, remember verse 16, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. In it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The idea is that God's plan for making you righteous, that is for saving your soul, is found in the gospel. That plan by which you will be made righteous is revealed from faith. That is out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith. The gospel itself. And the gospel, it is revealed from faith, that is, out of the faith, to or in order to produce faith in your heart. Faith that obeys. Thus, as is written in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, the just, or those who are justified, or those who are made righteous, or those who are saved, live, that is, they have eternal life, by faith, by an obedience of faith. That was produced from the faith. Just one gospel plan of salvation for all men. Obedience of faith in Jesus Christ. But there's no obedience of faith unless you hear the faith, because that's where faith comes from to begin with. Romans 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your belief that hopefully brings about obedience to the will of God begins by reading or hearing, coming to an understanding of the Word of God. It doesn't come through some kind of miraculous process as many people think today. It simply comes through the message. One message of salvation for all. When one reads and studies, comprehends and understands the message, or is taught the message, faith or belief in that message is produced in his heart. And then that faith issues, hopefully, in obedience in many different ways, which is included in that plan of salvation. Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? He who believes the faith, he who believes that gospel. So what have I got to do? Well, I've got to hear. I've got to believe, but that's not all I've got to do. To become obedient to that one plan, by which we'll all be made righteous, by which we'll all be justified, by which we'll all be saved, it includes much more. Remember, it's a faith that obeys. When one believes, he must repent of his sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told those who evidently had believed that they'd crucified their long-awaited Messiah, Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So they are to repent after they believe. Repentance is simply an action of belief. It's an action of faith. It's obedience to the faith. But there's other acts of obedience as well. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, that is, with a view toward being made righteous. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Know the word righteousness and salvation here, two different words, but they're used synonymously in this verse. One believes unto or with a view toward being made righteous. That is, one believes with a view or unto a view of being justified in the sight of God. Pronounced righteous, saved. And with the mouth, confession is made unto, in order to, with a view toward being saved. So what's another act of obedience of faith? Confession with the mouth. As the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just as Peter confessed in Matthew 16 and verse 16 and following. So confession with the mouth is an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's according to God's plan by which we can all be saved, all be made righteous. One plan of salvation for all men. Hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that is, as deity. And then respond in obedience as well in baptism. Acts 22 and verse 16, now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is the culminating act of obedience, but it's part of the plan. Sometimes people in the denominational world say, well, y'all just believe in five-finger religion. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. No, we believe in God's plan by which He brings about the salvation of all men. It's the same plan that He's given to all men. All men are commanded to believe. All men are commanded to repent. All men are commanded to confess Christ. All men are commanded to be baptized in order to have their sins remitted, washed away. It's God's one plan for all men. He doesn't devise a plan for men on this side of the world and men on the other side of the world. He's given the same plan about salvation by which He saves all men. In our reading this morning in Acts 10 and verse 12, Paul said, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. There's no distinction between man. God makes no distinction between man. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call upon the name of the Lord is simply to rely upon His authority as Lord. As they were told on the day of Pentecost, to repent and be baptized in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was said to be Lord in Acts 2 and verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." And so in verse 38, they were told to submit to the Lordship of Christ. That is, submit to His authority. How? By being baptized for the remission of their sins. It's all in God's one plan to bring about the salvation of all men. When we talk about one plan of salvation for all, it shows that God is just with us and even-handed with all men. That He treats all men in exactly the same way to bring about their salvation. Man doesn't have that unbiased nature. The Baptists present one plan of salvation. The Methodists present another plan of salvation. Jehovah's Witnesses present another plan of salvation. Catholics present another plan of salvation. You see how biased man is in regard to the salvation of the souls of men? Not so with God. He gives one plan. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for all men. Just one plan by which all men will be saved. But not so with man. Man is prejudiced. He is biased against other men. So biased that different groups will come up with their own plans by which they think they will be saved. But there is but one plan by which man will be saved, and that is God's plan. Amen. And so God is impartial in that He has provided as well one church or one body for all the saved. Now man, again, like his plan to bring about man's salvation, has come up with different plans. And so man, because he's prejudiced and biased, has come up with many churches, many bodies in which the saved are located, but not true with God's plan. He's impartial in that He's provided only one church or one body for all the saved. Matthew 16 and verse 18, "And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." My church. The church is simply the body of saved people. The church consists of all those who are saved. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. We learn that there is one body, just one body. Well, someone might say, well, what is that body in that passage? Well, in chapter 1 of Ephesians and in verse 22, "He, that is God, put all things under His, that is Christ's feet, and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body." There is one body, thus there is one church. What church is it? It's the church that Christ brought into existence. It's the saved people of God. They're all located in the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. Acts 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So when one is saved, they come to make up the church, the body of the saved. God is unbiased. God is impartial. He has provided one place for salvation for all the saved. Not different places, not different churches like man has, but just one place. God is impartial as well in His requirements for all mankind. Even after we become part of the saved, we still must obey and be in compliance with the requirements that He's placed upon us. In Titus 2 and in verse 11, Paul said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Let's reword that a little bit. If you've been here for any period of time, you should know how that goes. For the grace of God that brings salvation to whom? To the Jews only? To the Gentiles only? No. The grace of God displayed and exhibited by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on behalf of man. One Savior for all men. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. Word means has become fully known. Revealed, clearly known, and such as having become fully known, clearly known, or revealed, it teaches us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So God has the same requirements for all men, regardless of who you are, whether Jew or Gentile, whether rich or poor, black or white. It does not matter, wise or foolish. You must comply with the requirements of God's will and live righteous, godly, and sober lives in the age in which you exist. God is impartial, isn't He? Unbiased. Isn't it amazing how man treats man differently depending on maybe what year it is? Maybe what century they live in. Man's laws, man's ideas and opinions all change from time to time. But God's requirement for man has really always been the same since the very beginning.
Amen.
That is, hear His word and be obedient to it. That's what it comes down to.
Amen.
Hear what He has to say and simply render obedience to it. He is so even-handed with all men. God is also impartial in His judgment of all. In His judgment of all men. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Just the wise? Are they the ones who's going to appear? Just the foolish are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Just white Christians? Just black Christians? Just the Chinese? Just the Russians? Who's going to appear before the judgment seat? All men! Now, if it was left up to man, all men would not appear before the judgment seat. Some men would exclude themselves, as sometimes our modern day lawmakers exclude themselves. They make laws sometimes for the people, but the laws they make, they're not required to keep. But the people whom they have control over are required to keep. But God's not like that. In regard to His judgment, He is impartial. All men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You'll receive the consequences of that which you have done in this life. All men will be treated exactly the same way come the day of judgment. Romans 14 and verse 11, Paul said, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." That's absolutely true. You may not bow your knee and confess your faith in Jesus Christ to God, but one day you will. You might not do it in this life, but come the day of judgment, you will. So each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You can sit in the pew year after year and neglect your faith and obedience to the will of God. But come the day of judgment, you'll give an accounting. God will require of all of us, saint and sinner alike, Revelation 20 and verse 12. John said, "I saw the dead, small and great." There was none excluded. The low and the high. The small and the great. The wise and the unwise. Those who are foolish and those who are great intellectuals. They all stand before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books, will all be judged according to that which has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
When your name is found there by the Lord come the day of judgment, will beside your name be the word righteous? Will beside your name be the word saved? Will beside your name be the word justified, pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God? Remember, we'll all stand there by your name, recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those words will be there if your name is there. But if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll not be there. It'll be in some other book recorded for those who will receive condemnation in the day of judgment. And God is so impartial that we'll all be judged according to the same standard. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him, that which condemns him. The word that I have spoken will judge him or condemn him in the last day." Our condemnation come the day of judgment will be based upon the word, the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want to know what our destiny is now, just open up the book and read. I'm persuaded that's why so many people do not do that. Because they see their destiny before them. They see the outcome of their life as being something unpleasant. No one likes to read that which is unpleasant, especially about themselves. So when they read the word and they see that they're headed toward the condemnation awaiting them in the eternal fires of hell, they don't like it. They don't read it. But we know when we read the book, we can see our destiny.
Amen.
God is impartial. He's even-handed. He's unbiased. He's fair-minded and just with all men regarding their salvation. But God is biased in regard to some. You might say that He is partial in regard to some. That is, in regard to those who are righteous. In regard to those who are righteous. But every man is not righteous. He counts all men as sinners. He's impartial in that He has provided one Savior for all men. Impartial in that He has given one gospel for all men. Impartial in that He has provided one plan of salvation for all men. One church or one body in which all the saved gather and are added by the Lord Himself. God is impartial in His requirements for all. God is impartial in His judgment for all. But as I said, He is biased. He is partial in regard to those who are just and righteous. Acts 10 and verse 34 again, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." Note this. But, know the contrast. In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. No partiality in regard to one's salvation. He treats all men exactly alike. But God is partial in regard to those who work righteousness. That is, those who are justified. He's partial to the righteous. He's partial to His people. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Do you suppose that God is partial to you? He is, if you're righteous, if you're just. To be just means you're justified in His sight. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ because you've been baptized into Christ and appropriated cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Thus you're justified in His sight. Thus He pronounces or declares you righteous before Him based upon your obedience of faith. Thus He is partial toward you because you're just, because you make up His saved. If you're not just or righteous in the sight of God, become that way. Acts 18 and verse 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. You want to be seen as someone who is favored by Christ, favored by God? Someone whom God shows favor to and delight in? Become justified, become righteous. Hear the word, believe it. Obey it in baptism. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, all things are ready. We're simply waiting on you to confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. Have them washed away. Be justified, pronounced righteous in the sight of God. Let God bestow His favor and goodwill upon you as His child. If you've done that in times past but have sin in your life, we encourage you to repent of that sin. Confess that sin, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.